truly believe all are welcome at this table, including our children who have all disappeared, so they're good right now. If you want to let Lisa know that we're doing communion, so even our children, the way this is going to work, if I can have all of our servers come up, we are going to have three stations, one to my right, one to my left, and a gluten-free behind me. For those of you at home, this would be the time for you to grab your communion elements and get ready. And each Saturday, we have somebody special from our church come up and do the communion for us. And this tonight, it's Travis. Sorry, he was making an entrance. I know the people at home couldn't see it, but it was really cute. It's Travis.
Fixed it just a little bit. Everybody can still hear me, right? Cool. My name is Travis. I am Overcomer. So I'm going to ask you guys to do one thing for me, and then it's going to be pretty cool. I've done it, and it works. I'm kind of nervous about it. I don't know why. I'm going to ask everybody in this room to close your eyes. And what you're going to do is you're going to take your left hand or your right hand, and you're going to put it over your heart, like you're saying a pledge of allegiance or anything. With your eyes closed, one thing I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to take everything, all shame, all guilt, all sin, all love, and I want you to slowly take your hand and close it slowly. I want you to put everything in your hand. Everything in life, all the trouble, all the fear, everything that drives you crazy. While you're doing that, when you're closing your hand, make a fist. When everybody's made a fist, I want you to throw your fist in the air and keep it closed. And what you're going to do is when you open your hand, you're going to give everything to Christ. Everything. Don't take anything back. All the fear that you're troubled with, all the sin that you've been fighting with, all the hatred, all the guilt, all the shame, everything. When you're ready, release it and give it to God. And I want you to say this. God, I give you everything in life. And I give my life to the care of God. Amen. And I'm Travis. I'm an overcomer. Amen.
Okay, for those of you at home or for those of you that would prefer to stay seated while Travis serves the servers, this is the body of Christ that was given to us. And the blood of Christ that was shed for us. Once the servers are served, the table will be open.
Thank you, Jonah. Thank you. Wow.
You did great too.
No, that was good. That was good stuff. If you don't have a bulletin or a Bible, please raise your hand. Someone will bring you one. Okay, y'all got Bibles? Anybody need a Bible? Over here? All right, cool. If you will, turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, you pull out your phone. Look, yeah, y'all got real used to pulling out your phones. I'm down with that too. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We have around us many people whose lives tell us what faith means. So let us run the race. We should move. What? There it is. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Let us look only to Jesus, the one who began our faith and who makes it perfect. He suffered death on a cross, but he accepted the shame as if it were nothing because of the joy that God put before him. And now he is sitting at the right-hand side of God's throne. If you look at your first fill-in-the-blank on your notes, it says, run the race. In verse 1, it said, let us run the race that is set before us and never give up. This is not a foot race. This is not a get on the starting line, get down in a three-point stance, and take off when you hear the shot. Not that kind of race. This race does have a prize. This race has a prize. The prize is eternal life. Amen. There's your prize. You know, most races have a winner. This race has multiple winners. Everyone in this room can win this race. So how do we win? Fill this blank in. How do we win? In verse 2, if you want to underline this, it says, look only to Jesus. Amen. That's how you win this race. Looking only to Jesus. Tonight, the title of this message is called Chasing Jesus. Chasing Jesus. So what is a Jesus chaser? A Jesus chaser is a person whose passion for Jesus' presence presses him to chase the impossible in hopes that the uncatchable might catch them. A child chases a loving parent until suddenly the strong arms of a father enfolds to the chaser. This reminded me... Do y'all remember when you were learning how to swim? Standing on the edge of the pool, right? And if you've not been this person, you've probably been the parent in the water. But standing on the edge of the pool and your mom, your dad standing out there going, come on, just jump. Just jump to me. And you're, I don't know about all this. And I'm afraid. That looks deep, and I know if I get in there and you don't catch me, that I'm going to drown, that I'm not going to make it. I'm in a lot of fear that I'm not going to be able to catch you. But the whole time, the parent is the one doing the catching. This reminds me of how it is to chase Jesus. See, he's going to do the catching. And we're doing the chasing. It kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. So how do I started thinking about that. And sometimes when my kids jumped into the water to me, I backed up a little bit. And they knew the next time they were going to do that, I might back up a little bit. But you know what happened? When they jumped in, they struggled. They struggled a little bit, but I was there to grab them. Without that struggle, they would have never learned how to swim. If they jumped to me every time and I stepped forward and caught them, then there's no swimming lesson there. So I back up just a tad, allow them to struggle so that they learn how to swim. And when they start to go under, I can reach down and grab them and pull them back up. Jesus does this, but it takes trust. See, my children, I wake them up every day when they were little. They knew that I was going to feed them. They knew that I was going to be there. If they fell down and scraped their leg, I was going to be there to pick them up. I had been with them through all that. So when it was time to learn how to swim, they already trusted me. And that's where we got to get. We got to get to trust. To take that leap. To chase after Jesus. So how do you know when you've caught Jesus or Jesus has caught you? This will make a lot of sense to a lot of you. You're not drowning. Amen. You're not drowning. Amen. Boy, I was drowning every day until I turned my will, my life over to care. Amen. And started chasing Jesus in everything I do. In the AA Big Book, by the way, y'all, did y'all write that down? That's good stuff. Y'all got to write that down. All right. In the AA Big Book on page 54, it says, "We found, too, that we had been worshipers. What a state of mental goose flesh that used to bring on. Had we not variously worshipped people, sentiment things, money, ourselves? And then with better motives, had we not worshipfully beheld the sunset, the sea, or a flower? Who of us had not loved someone or somebody? How much did these feelings, these loves, these worships have to do with pure reason? Little or nothing, we saw at last. Were not these things the tissue out of which our lives were constructed?" So I'm going to have a few questions. Are you chasing Jesus in your worship? See, I understood exactly what I read there when I found that. I got to this portion of the message and I was looking in the Alcoholics Anonymous book and I came across that. And that was me. I worshiped everything but Jesus. Everything. I was in a band that meant more than Jesus. I was in a band that meant more than anything, my family. I worshiped the drugs, the lifestyle. All of that meant more to me than Jesus. When I'm talking about worship, I'm not just talking about what we just did here. But yes, I'm talking about what we just did here. In your worship. We're going to go back to the catch me. And for years prior to Serenity Church, I would go to church and I would see people raise their hands and I'd be, na 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 na. I'm not doing that. That's weird, right? That's weird. And so, man, I've said this before, y'all probably heard me. I've talked to my mom about it and she said, "Listen, man, I raise my hands like I want to be held by my dad." Man, that changed everything. That changed it all for me. I don't have a problem doing this anymore in worship. I don't have a problem raising my hands. But that is not what really I'm talking about tonight. Worship is giving Jesus credit for everything good. Amen. There is good people because of Jesus. They're good. There's good things in life because of Jesus. We have money. And believe it comes from Jesus. That money in your pocket you don't own, He gave it to you. The sunset, like I just read, when you see a sunset, it's because of Jesus. The sea, as vast as it is, it's because of Jesus. People do not give Him credit. A beautiful flower. Because of Jesus. Jesus is the reason anything is good. Everything is good. And people just don't give Him credit. What about chasing Jesus in your giving? And that's kind of, wait a minute now, that's a little bit tough. Am I giving? How do I chase Jesus in my giving? I'm not talking about your money. I'm not talking about your money. How about your time? Are you helping other people? Are you doing stuff for others? What about your things? What's mine is mine. I can't loan nobody my car. What if they wreck it? Well, what if they don't? I ain't gonna say nothing, Matthew.
I didn't say
no. Oh, do you know Matthew wrecked my truck?
Oh, I
know. It's a little bitty dent. It's okay.
Character.
Gives it character. In 1990, a youth group leader, now me and Aunt Lori talked about this, and it's going to be funny, Janie Tinklingberg. Tinklingberg. Janie Tinklingberg. Does anybody know what she did? I knew there had to be one of them. When I looked that up and wrote it down, I'm like, Pete's going to love this. Janie Tinklingberg started a grassroots movement. Nobody knows. Isn't that something? WWJD. WWJD. What would Jonah do? Oh, that's not it, is it? That's not it. WWJD. It went worldwide. It spread like wildfire. Putting others before yourself. So I was thinking, who all would wear one of those if we got some of them? Yeah, man. Yeah. So one of the things I'm going to do in the next week or so is I'm going to try to get us some of those. WWJD with Serenity Church on them. I think that's pretty cool. But don't wear it if you're not going to do it. Don't wear it if you're not going to do it. I'm talking to myself, man. Some of the things I do, I know Jesus would not do. So we're gonna look into that. Chasing Jesus in your relationships. Is Jesus the center of your relationship with your wife? Is Jesus the center of your relationship with your husband? Do your children know that Jesus is Lord? Here's one for you. Do your friends know Jesus is Lord? Can they tell by looking at you? Can they tell by the way you talk? By the things you say? By your actions? By the way you're helping others? Can they tell that Jesus is the Lord of your life? Do your friends know Jesus is Lord? Do people in your life know that you are chasing Jesus? I have to think about that. Does everyone in my life know that I'm chasing Jesus? Yeah. And if there's someone who don't, I'm going to let them know. I'm talking to myself. This whole sermon here, man, as I was writing it, I have to put every bit of this into my own action. I have to do it. Chasing Jesus in your rest. How do you do that? When you relax? Are you playing some worship music? Do you pray? Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired and heavy and have heavy loads, and I will give you rest." Prayer before you relax. Prayer before your rec time. Listening to worship music. We were just in New Mexico and we went fishing. And the first day that we went fishing, we got out there on the bank and there's others with us. And I pulled out my phone and played some worship music and I was fishing. We weren't catching nothing. And I thought, well, maybe we just need to move. And I turned mine off and picked up my stuff and moved on down a little bit. Trina had already went way on down the bank. But when I turned my stuff off and started walking down that way, I was like, what is she listening to? And she had tuned in the Bible. She was just listening to the Bible being read to her. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. That's cool. And we sat there a little longer and nobody was catching nothing. I said, well, let's move. Let's go to another place. We picked up and we moved to another place. And it wasn't no time before me and Trina started catching fish. We limited out and nobody else did. I'm just saying. But we had that. You went the next day and limited out. Okay. but we drew Jesus into our recreation time. I know that Stephen does this. He'll go on a 20, 40-mile bike ride and playing the Bible in his head the whole time. he told me a story one time about how his iPod or whatever he was listening to, you know, headphones or something broke. And it was a struggle for him to make it back because that mental state that the Bible puts him into gets him through those 20-mile rides. That's just crazy, isn't it? So listen, our overcomer tonight is Zacchaeus. If you'll turn to Luke 19, I'm going to read this story to us. Luke 19 says, Zacchaeus meets Jesus. Jesus was going through the city of Jericho. A man was there named Zacchaeus, who was a very important tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because he was too short to see over above the crowd. He ran ahead to a place where Jesus would come, and he climbed in a sycamore tree so he could see him. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus came down quickly, welcomed him in gladly. All the people saw this and began to complain. Jesus is staying with the sinner. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "I will give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I will pay back four times more." Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to your house today, because this man also belongs to the family of Abraham. The Son of Man came to find lost people and save them." Amen. Zacchaeus. In that first few verses, in the first verse 4, I want you to note that he ran. He was chasing Jesus. See, I picture is this big crowd of people gathered up, and of course Zacchaeus is too long. I'm gonna start calling him Zach. So Zach was outside this big crowd of people, and he had heard about Jesus. He had heard about the miracles that he had been doing. He had heard about the people that he was healing. He may have even heard that he was the Messiah. But he could not see him because he is too short. Now, I think that probably people knew who Zach was. I mean, he was a tax collector. People around there knew who he was. So they weren't going to help him anyway. So there's this crowd of people moving in a direction, and I'm sure they're probably pushing him back. He can't see, so he starts chasing Jesus. He runs ahead of the crowd, and then he goes to any lengths. He climbs a tree. You know, when we first come into recovery, one of the things that is said to us, will you go to any lengths? And I heard it said to me a bunch of times, will you go in a corner and stack BBs on your head if I tell you to? Yes, I will. I will. And thank God nobody asked me to do that. But I would have done it in the beginning. But they did tell me to do certain things, and I did those. Zacchaeus was going to any lengths when he climbed that tree. And he got to the tree, and he saw Jesus. He saw him live and in person. And then Jesus caught him. He looked up to him and said, Zacchaeus, Zach, come on down out of that tree. See, this whole time, Zach was chasing him. Zach was running after him, trying to get into a position where he could catch Jesus, catch a look, see him. But when Zacchaeus finally got into position, Jesus caught him. That's what I've been trying to say all night long. If you keep chasing after Jesus, he will catch you. If you take that leap, if you jump into that water, he'll catch you. We're chasing him, but he's doing the catching. See, one of the coolest things I think about that reading is when the people said, Jesus is staying with a sinner because he's talking about me. They're talking about me. Jesus is staying with a sinner. Jesus is staying with a sinner. Where would we be without him? See, Zacchaeus figured that out, and he said, yep, you've caught me. I'm coming on down. And now I want to turn my will, my life, over the care of God. What do I need to do? Oh, I probably didn't need to do a ninth step. I'm going to give back everything that I've been taking from everybody, plus some. If there's anybody I've cheated, I'm going to give them double. Zacchaeus did a ninth step and made amends to those people. So why should we be chasing Jesus? After all this has been said, it sums it up in verse 10. The Son of Man came to find lost people and save them. Amen. That's all of us. Amen. We are all lost. See, I hear people say something from time to time, well, when I found Jesus, what do you mean when you found Jesus? He wasn't lost. You were the lost one. You just started trying to walk in his direction and he caught you. You tried to run in his direction, and he got you. He caught you. You didn't find Jesus. He was never lost. So if you have Jesus in your life, he found you. He found you. Amen. Our job now is to keep seeking him in everything we do. So if you want to start chasing Jesus, if you want to become a Christian, if you want a new way of life, if you want freedom, if you want eternal life, if you want to see those people that have gone before us, y'all bow your head and pray with me tonight. Accept Jesus Christ into your life. Lord in heaven, we love you. We love you with all we have. Lord, sometimes I stumble. A lot of times I stumble. And I fall, but you're always there. You're always there to pick me back up. Help us trust. Help us trust you. When you have your arms out and you're saying, jump. Yes, Lord, I understand that sometimes you allow us to struggle so that we learn. Without that struggle, we wouldn't learn. And I understand that, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight, if there's any soul here tonight who is just thinking about starting to chase down Jesus, Lord, put it on their heart, break them down, and open their eyes. And if you accept Jesus Christ tonight, I pray that you find some people to hang out with, find some people that are all going in the same direction, all chasing Jesus. And I pray that your friends find out that Jesus is Lord. I pray that your family finds out that Jesus is Lord. Lord, help us. Help us when we think we can't go any longer. The first scripture I read, it said, run the race and never give up. Lord, help us to continue to run that race. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Did anybody get their socks knocked off tonight? Yeah. Amen. I'm Aunt Laurie. I'm an overcomer. Do I need to do something to this, or is it working? Okay, awesome. We're doing the announcements at the end of the service now. This is my first time to be exposed to that, so I'm glad I'm the one that's doing it. Yes. Tonight's service just touched me in so many ways, and I am so grateful and honored to be here, and it's good to see each and every one of you here this evening. If you don't know, we are still not passing the baskets hand to hand just yet because of germs. And so we do have our offering receptacle right here in the center. Don't forget to do your giving as you pass by, or there are a lot of other ways to give, which are listed on your bulletin, I believe. They're on the screen if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, and we can see it right here in here in person as well. So there are ways to give that are more modern than putting it in the offering box back there. I don't participate in the modern ways. I would like to also, mention that the Heart of Serenity Church is our Overcomers meetings, and those are listed on the back of your bulletin. We have face-to-face meetings. We just so happen to be having a meeting right here in this very building this evening in about 10 minutes. And